beginning to look and sound a little like Christmas, don't you think? Yeah. Everybody got your gifts?
Yeah, I did.
Did you get my gift?
Yeah.
Did you get me a gift, I meant to say? Not my gift from you. You give to me. See, I get a lot of gifts this way, right? There's advantages of being a pastor, aren't there? Wonderful. So many sales, so many things to buy, so many things to give one another, huh? How about the greatest gift that was ever given? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The shepherd, the friend, the savior, the helper, the counselor, the healer, the lover of our souls, the one that accepts us all unconditionally and loves us forevermore, the one that's given us eternal life, given us hope, and given us peace. Peace. Not as the world gives. It's a different kind of peace. So we're going to talk about peace this morning because the Advent candle this morning that was lit is about peace. So we're going to talk about peace so that we can be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. Which is who we are. Anytime we choose peace over anything else, because there's a lot of emotions and a lot of things we can choose in life, aren't there? Oh, yes. Any given moment, we humans, man, we can choose any kind of reaction or response, can't we? To everything and anything that happens in our life, all the circumstances that happen. Can we not have a multitude of emotions? Oh, baby. Woo! Some of them are messier than others. Some of them aren't very good gifts at all. They're the gifts that keep on giving in a negative way. But we're going to give one another peace because that's what Christ gave us. We're going to go to John 14 this morning. And this is the last message prior to Jesus' crucifixion that he gave to the disciples. Remember, he was in the upper room with them and he had the Last Supper with them. And then he was telling them he was leaving the earth, going back to be with God. And in the middle of that, he was going to sacrifice his life and give us forgiveness of all of our sins and set us free and open up the doors to heaven for all of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, and no matter good, bad, or indifferent, the doors of heaven have been opened by Jesus Christ. All of us. Isn't that good to know? So he was talking to the disciples, and he says to them, John 14, verse 27, I am leaving you with a gift. He didn't say a lot of gifts. He wasn't talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit or the gift of tongues and the gift of all the, what we know as spiritual gifts. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Evidently, it's the most important gift any of us could receive, wouldn't you say? If he said, I'm leaving you with a gift, one gift that you're going to need for the rest of your life. Guess what? You don't have to buy another Christmas present for the rest of your life. Isn't that good to know? Tithe the money instead. Let's give gifts of food and gifts of clothing and gifts of backpacks and gifts of whatever people need, love and mercy and grace, right? We don't have to buy people stuff. Although it's nice to receive gifts, I get that. We like things. But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. What is it? Peace of mind and heart. Peace of mind. And, here's the thing. Peace in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, was shalom, meaning peace. Peace between one another. Peace be to you. Things of that nature. It was a hello and a goodbye very often. Shalom. Peace. And it was bringing peace to one another. And that's the Old Testament. That's in the Hebrew. But Jesus is speaking now, and this is in the Greek version. So it's a different definition. The Hebrew version of this is total completeness, success, fulfillment, wholeness, harmony, security, and well-being. One word means a lot of things. Well-being, wholeness. It's also translated to mean calm, trust. How many of you have trust? You trust God with everything and anything? How often is it calm? Maybe just the type A personalities like me I'm going to talk to for a second. My calm trust goes like this. I trust you, God. Now get this done right away. I trust you, God, to answer this now. God, I trust you, but could you kind of tell me what's going on in the future, please? So I'll know what the future is going to hold so I can trust that. That's not exactly calm peace, calm trust, is it? And it certainly is not peace of heart and mind, is it? See, peace of mind and heart is this. You stop thinking about the thing you're thinking about that's bothering you, right? What's real calm trust look like? Just being calm, trusting God. Just hanging out. God's got this. I'm going to stay calm about this because I know God is answering the prayer in the way, time, and best method possible for everyone concerned. So I can be at peace. Go on about my business and stop thinking about the thing that I'm worried about that I think is going to happen because God isn't acting fast enough for me. Oh, I got on calm again. Sorry. So easily. He says, I leave you with a gift, peace of heart and mind. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, there's that caveat. Real peace means I'm not afraid of the future. I'm not afraid of the outcome. I'm not afraid of what's happening. I'm not worried about what I think people think of me. Because that's not peace, is it? Of course it isn't. So I also wanted to give you, I guess, a definition of what peace could be for you in terms of what, you know, what we look at in the definition of, you know, some time to time. It's like, what do we mean when we say peace? Because we pray for peace on earth, don't we? Is it ever going to come? When Christ comes back. See, that's messianic peace. There's a kingdom messianic, when the messianic time of the future happens, when Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom on earth, there will be peace among all humanity and absolutely none, zero, zilch, evil anymore. Oh, Lord, make that day come. But that day isn't coming yet, is it? The Messiah is not coming yet. I often wonder sometimes, because God sometimes gives me the impression that he's not doing enough to bring peace. And I'm like, what the heck are you up to, God? What's with all these people? Why don't you make them peaceful? And God's like, why don't you become peaceful about the people? Huh? What? Huh? Make them peaceful? Where does peace begin? With each of us. Peace of mind, what you think about. Peaceful thoughts. Anybody here need to make peace with your past? Huh? Oh, yeah, you need to, right? Will you? That's another sermon, I suppose, or another day. I'm sure you always have tomorrow, the next Sunday. You can wait. New Year's, that'll be it. You can start then. New Year's Eve. I've got the theme for New Year's Eve. Finally, God, I know what to preach about that night. We're going to make peace with our past. We're going to let it go, and we're going to be peaceful people in going into the future. Making peace with yourself. Any of you that have made mistakes, probably nobody in this room or anybody watching or listening, but there might be some people every once in a while that do make mistakes in life. And when you feel bad about that, right, and you think about it again and again and again and again and again, knowing that really you are a forgiven person, but you're not being at peace with yourself, are you? How many of you do you statements to yourself? You know, you stupid idiot. Oh, wow. Well, I guess all the stupid idiots raise their hands. The things we say to ourselves. And sometimes we're saying it to a driver in front of us, but who's hearing it? Who's the you? You! Do you know that your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference when you're saying you? It thinks you is you. It means I, really? Our mind doesn't know the difference. So at any time you're calling somebody a crappy driver, guess who you're really talking to? You! Now, does that give you peace? Is this the kind of peace that Christ was talking about? Of course it isn't. Peace of mind. The thoughts we think must be thoughts of peace. Even if you have a person that you're at a little bit of discord with. Because here's the definition of peace. Oh, I was going to that. Remember that? Okay, sorry. Peace is this. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotion. So it's freedom from anything that disquiets you, gets you upset. It's freedom from that. It's harmony in personal relationships. Let's say harmony. Harmony. And when you listen to our awesome singers up here, do you hear the harmony? All the voices. Everybody's got a different voice, including mine in the front row. But when they all blend together, what happens? Harmony. They're all equal, aren't they? Melodious, together, different variations of notes, but playing in harmony. We are to be in harmonious relationships with each other. Do you know what that means? One person does. Beautiful. Okay, it's enough. You got your message for today. For the rest of you that don't know, see Kim, please. Words that relate to peace are accord, harmony, calm, quiet, serenity, tranquility, stability. That's what peace is. That's the kind of peace that Christ is talking about. Where you feel truly at peace with yourself and one another. And no matter what someone may be different than you, anybody different than one another here by chance? Oh, I think so. Pretty diverse group we have here. Be kind of boring if we're all the same, right? You don't want like 100 Joyces, that's for sure. But we're all in harmony together, all your distinct and different qualities and personalities together. Now, are we going to find sometimes where you kind of rub us the wrong way because you're not like us? What are we going to do because we have the peace of Christ within us? Find a way to harmonize together so we can be tranquil and calm and peaceful. One accord. That's what Jesus was talking about. Because the world doesn't give us that kind of peace. It gives us temporary peace from time to time, right? But the kind of peace that Christ is talking about is something that lives in our mind and in our heart. When is it available? On Sunday mornings, for sure. Well, when is it really available? Where do we learn it? On Sunday mornings. Where do we implement it? Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday. Right, exactly. Especially in your personal relationships. How many of you have personal relationships with others? Oh, okay. Oh. So if each of you choose this morning to be, allow the mind of Christ, which is the mind of peace, which we're going to see in Colossians 3 in a minute, to always be, one, a person of calm trust in God, so you're gonna have that belief system. And then you always are a person who wants to have unity and harmony with others and be tranquil. Because the antonym for peace is conflict. It's strife. It's arguments. It's discord. It's dissidence. It's tumult. It's when you're all... And it's certainly unrest and upheaval. It's divisive and divisiveness. We all need to be people of peace, don't we? Because there's enough upheaval and tumult and conflict in our world today, is there not? And listen, if we in this church at least, I want to say all Christians, but I'm going to just talk to us because you're hearing this, because I can only, in a way, be responsible for me and us to a certain degree, meaning I'm trying to help you spiritually grow to be more like Christ. Can we make a vow to be peacemakers? Because wouldn't it be awesome if people, when they saw us, and no matter what was happening, even if somebody stepped on our toe or said something that we were like, what? We don't go, what? we stop and we think before we speak. Because what's in the heart, the mouth speaks. And if there's peace in here, what's going to come out? And even if somebody sounds a little discordant or a little off key from time to time, you're going to love them anyway, aren't you? Aren't you? You're going to say, wow, I'd rather have peace than to make this person get on key. Because that brings harmony between us and among us, right? We together need to be people of peace. Not the kind of peace that the world gives that's temporary and based on circumstances, based on I overpower you and now you have to make peace with me. It's I want you to have peace. I want you to have harmony in your mind and tranquility. I want your mind to be free of any thoughts that oppress you or depress you, of your past that still hurts you and harms you. I want you to have peace, knowing that there's wholeness, completeness. You're loved unconditionally, no matter how bad or awful you think you would have been or have been in the past. You're totally whole and complete in Christ because he gave you the gift of peace of heart and mind. Listen, let me put it this way. Are you afraid of God getting back at you for something you've done wrong? Beautiful. Are you a person who wants to get back at others for what they did wrong to you? I'm getting done here pretty soon, baby. You're understanding. Let's turn to Colossians 3 because here's the thing. We've been given this beautiful gift of peace of mind and heart. And listen, I know sometimes there are circumstances and problematic things that are happening in all of our lives. Any kind of thing can happen in any moment of any day that upsets us, can it? Based on what other people sometimes do or just circumstances that happen, right? And it's not the circumstance as much as it what? How we react to it? We can make it mellow and okay, I calmly trust God to solve this problem for me, the circumstance I find myself in. I'm going to go to God and say, I want your peace of heart and mind. I'm just going to be a person of peace. I'm not going to think about this. I'm going to think about you, God, and you give me peace. Because this circumstance is temporary. We know that there's all kinds of seasons in life, right? I just came from the Northeast. That's a bad season up there of winter. I do not recommend it. I recommend being with your family. But I don't exactly like that season. And I made it well known. And boy, I wasn't a very peaceful, wonderful person some of that time. So maybe God needed to give me a message. There can be peace in the valley, peace in the snowstorm, peace when you're shivering. Right? Where does it come from? Inside. Very good. It's inside. If people could stop reacting to things that happen outside of them. I watch people when I was in the airport. I was watching people, you know, they're on Facebook and all those other places they're looking at. And I watch their faces because, I mean, I'm just a people looker at a person. And I guess you call that a pastor. But anyway, I was watching their faces. And, I mean, they're scrolling. And they start, I mean, like that fast, instantaneously. I'm just watching them go, woo, 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 woo. Wow. And I'm like, what the heck are they so upset about? Huh. We're so reactionary. And they're spoiling a... Now, here's the thing. They're sitting with their family. This is a part that I always find amazing. They're sitting with their family, going on a family trip for a holiday to be with one another and thank God that they have a family while their face is in a phone or an iPad or another device. And going, I got up and moved my seat. The one time I was getting like bad vibes just spilling off around me. Human nature is amazing to watch, isn't it? And then I went on Facebook. Uh-oh. I was like, uh-oh, mirror, mirror on the wall. Why do you judge them all? Anyway. When we close our eyes, no matter where we are, and you go within, where your heart is and your soul is, it stills and calms your mind as you look and think about the love of God, the peace that comes, just being in God's presence, how God looks at us and just loves us and laughs at us when we get so upset and says, I'm here for you, my child. And I gave you a gift of peace of mind and heart. Open it. Use it. Find it within yourself. And there it is. And you shut out everything else and everybody else, and you just, Think about Christ within. Think about God inside of you, where God is. God is peace. Isaiah 7 said, He will be our peace, and He is. So instead of looking without and looking outside where there's no peace, you cannot find peace outside of you. Where do you find peace? Within, within. And when you need it, it's always there for you. It's a forever gift. It's not a gift that you have to like get a subscription for and every year you renew it. It's always there within. You just have to look within and find it. And I have peace of heart and mind. I have it. I have it. Oh, feels so good, doesn't it? Colossians 3:16 says, no, I'm going to go back to 15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. The peace that comes from Christ, let it rule inside your heart. The decisions you make, the choices you make, the actions you take, let your heart rule it. Your mind will follow. Because the mind is the place, and it's sometimes called the devil's workshop. It's a place in our thoughts sometimes where we get tripped up. But your heart will never mess you up. If you lead with your heart and you do things from the heart, from love and from peace and from joy and from God's way of doing things, when you come from life that way towards others, regardless of what someone out here does, you lead with your heart. You try to understand where their pain is, why they're acting like they are, or whatever. But if you just give them some of that peace of heart and mind, calm, tranquility, it'll change the circumstance with them and with you. Peace is so important in all of our lives. Why do I know it's so important? It's the last gift Jesus gave to his disciples and said, I'm leaving you with this. You're going to need it. And he didn't just leave it with the disciples. He left it with whom? All of us. All of us. Calm trust in God and peace. Always seeking peace and understanding with one another. Finding harmony. Finding a way to work things out with one another. Even when someone is wrong. We don't try to be right and prove them wrong. We try to give them peace instead and love them unconditionally as God does. Because that's the heart of Christ, the heart of forgiveness, the heart of understanding, and a place where we give peace to one another. I don't know about you, but I've been in a relationship for like 37 years. And the best times we've had is when we've chosen to be at peace with each other. Because you obviously know that I'm always right in this relationship. And you obviously know that I'm the good one. How does that get in such a big laugh? However, for those of you that really know about my relationship, the truth be told, there have been times of conflict in my relationship. I know it's surprising. When we don't bring Christ into our relationship and act like Christ individually, when I'm acting like me and not my good me, and she's not acting like the good her, it ain't pretty. But when we catch ourselves and say, wait a minute, we'd rather have peace. And if you've been around us long enough, as sometimes we've been in the fellowship hall discussing things and having a little, like, I think it should be this, I think it should be that, a back and forth kind of thing, and you'll watch it. A little bit of, you know, one of us gaining control over the other. You know, none of you ever do any of this, I know. But needless to say, and the arms wrestling, what are the things we learned a long time ago? Because very often we would be around other people, and as the disciples, for those of you that know why you cross your fingers, it's because the disciples had to hide that they were Christians, and this is what they did to pray. That's where that came from. So Becky and I have a different version. We want peace with each other. So one of us will put our hands out and go, oh, and I go, oh, I want to be right. Oh, I was doing so good. I was winning the argument. Give me 5 more minutes. I'm up with the right answer. Peace. She wants peace. Okay. And I always get the, I don't feel it. So, and she'll say, oh, do we need to call the pastor? If we could have more peace in our relationships, they would be more quality, wouldn't they? The things we argue over and fight over and discuss about, or how important are they really? Isn't peace a lot more fun? Isn't it better than being right? Okay, I didn't get the whole congregation on that one. I was just about to end this thing. I don't know. Let's try that one again. Isn't peace more important and better than anything? Yes. The gift you've been given of peace, it's the gift you can give to others. That'll be so valuable and so precious to them. And if we each give peace to one another and whoever else we're around, we might not change the entire world, but we will change the area of the room that we're in and the world we're in, right? Peace is so important. It's such a beautiful, wonderful gift. What a great gift. You've received it. Now please share it with one another. Peace out. Amen.